أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وقل رب أدخلني مدخل صدق وأخرجني مخرج صدق واجعلني من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. In the previous ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to establish the prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala determined and specified the time of prayer from the time the sun declines, that is the time of Zawal, right up to the darkness of the night, indicating the time of Salatul Isha, and all the prayers in between those two times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke separately about Fajr Salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained to us how Fajr Salah is the most well-attended Salah by the Malaika and the angels of Allah. Allah went on to prescribe an additional Salah and prayer, that was Tahajjud Salah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and informed him of Al-Maqam Al-Mahmud, the praised station and position, the high lofty station of Al-Akhirah that he will occupy. And that is the position of Shafa'ah, having the power and the authority to intercede on behalf of his ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the next ayah to recite a certain dua as he is migrating from Makkah to Al-Mukarramah. This dua was prescribed for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the occasion when he was exiting his house. His house was surrounded by these young warriors, and they were armed, awaiting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to exit so that they may assassinate him. That was the decision they had taken amongst themselves. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is about to leave the house, he's about to leave the home, and Allah tells him to recite a dua on this occasion. Ayah number 80 of Surah Bani Israel. وَقُلْ أَوْ مُحَمَّدْ سَيْهِ رَبِّ أَدَخِلْنِي مُدَخَلَ صِدْقٍ. O Allah, allow me to enter an entry of security. Allow me to enter a good and a correct and a positive entry, smooth, into Madinah Munawwarah, that is. When I enter over there, allow my entry to be one of Sidq. Sidq, a good one, a smooth one, a peaceful one. Wa akhrijni, and Allah, take me out, that is from Makkah to Mukarramah, mukhraja Sidqin. Take me out an exit of Sidq as well, an exit of loyalty, an exit of truth, an exit of smoothness, and a correct exit. So allow my entry to be a positive one when I enter into Madinah to Munawwara, not facing any harms, any challenges, any difficulties along the way. And also my exiting from Makkah to Mukarramah, I will allow that to be also a good and smooth exit. So the entry and both the exit. Waj'alli, and O Allah, make for me, min ladunka sultan al-nasira, make for me and appoint for me such strength and such power from your side that is favored by you. وَقُلْ جَاءَ. So that was a dua that Rasulullah ﷺ was told to recite when he's leaving and exiting Makkatul Mukarramah, keeping both places into consideration, the manner in which he exits and the manner in which he enters into Madinatul Munawwara. And when you learn the hijrah and you study the hijrah of Rasulullah ﷺ, you come to know of the support and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he enjoyed along the way. From the time he left his home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him invisible. Those people surrounded the house. Allah ta'ala told him to recite certain ayat from Surah Yasin as he was leaving his home. And he recited those ayat, and as he was reciting them, he left the home. They could not see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They could see one another. It's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away from them the ability to see, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away from them the ability to see Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he became invisible to them. And like this, support and help from Allah he experienced throughout the way. When he was in the ghar, when he was in the thawr, the cave of a thawr, there also they were about to find him, and they were about to capture him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped him there. Along the way, the incident of Suraqah, until he entered Madinatul Munawwara. So the power of this dua, أخرجني مخرج صدق وجعل لي أدخلني مدخل صدق وأخرجني مخرج صدق وجعل لي من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of Fath Makkah, the conquest of Makkah to Mukarramah. So this ayah, the next ayah, ayah number 81 of Surah Bani Israel, was revealed after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had conquered Makkah to Mukarramah. And we know that the conquest of Makkah was a peaceful one. There was no real battle and war that was fought. Perhaps there were one, two incidents, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Makkah peacefully, and he took over Makkah to Mukarramah without any bloodshed. So after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah, وَقُلْ and say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, جَاءَ الْحَقْ, the truth has arrived. Say this, جَاءَ الْحَقْ, the truth has arrived, وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ, and all of falsehood has vanished. إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا, certainly falsehood is bound to vanish. Falsehood will never remain forever. Falsehood is bound to vanish. Falsehood is bound to lose. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to Makkah to Mukarramah, at that time the Kaaba was surrounded by 360 idols in and around the Kaaba. 360 idols. The mushrikeen, the polytheists, they had an idol for every day of the year. An idol they would worship every day of the year. Rasulullah had an instrument in his hand, like a sort of a stick that he had in his hand, and he walked past each idol and he tapped it with this stick on its chest or on its body. And as he did that, he recited this ayah from the Quran, قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ. And as he was doing that, these idols were falling down to the ground, reduced to dust, as he was reciting this ayah from the Quran, that the truth has come and falsehood has vanished. Indeed, falsehood is bound to vanish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks of two attributes of the Quran, the power of the Quran and the secret that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in the Quran and its recitation. Allah says, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Allah says, and we have sent down in the form of the Quran or part of the Quran, مَا هُوَ الشِّفَاء, that which is shifa, that which is a cure. That's the first power that is found within the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's a shifa. Now maladies are of two types, or ailments are of two types. They are the spiritual maladies, they are the spiritual ailments that we suffer from, and the Quran is a shifa for that. It purifies the heart and it purifies a person's mind from these inner maladies that a person may suffer from. That's the first thing. The second thing, it's also a shifa for physical ailments. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has proven this to us, that the Quran can also be a shifa, a means of cure for a person suffering from physical ailments. In a hadith, it comes that once a group of Sahaba, they were traveling, and they came to a certain village, and they set up camp outside of that village. And the leader of that community, he was stung by a scorpion. And his daughter came running to them and asked them whether there was anyone amongst them who could perhaps attend to him, because he was stung by the scorpion or by this poisonous creature. And a certain Sahabi, he went to this man and he began reciting Surah Fatiha. And he recited Surah Fatiha, and after reciting Surah Fatiha, he blew onto this person and he was cured. And when they saw this, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala were amazed, and they came back to Madinah Munawwara and they informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Surah Al-Fatiha is Ash-Shifa. One of the names of Surah Al-Fatiha is that it is Ash-Shifa, it is a cure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept within it the power of curing not only spiritual ailments but physical sicknesses and physical ailments as well. So Allah says, وَنُنَزِّلْ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ, we send down the Qur'an, and within the Qur'an, a portion of the Qur'an, مَا هُوَ شِفَى, that which is a shifa, a cure, وَرَحْمَةِ, and a source of mercy. A source of rahmah, a source of mercy. That's the second attribute of the Qur'an. It is رَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, it is a source of great mercy for the believers. وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. Allah says by this Qur'an, it increases the wrongdoers nothing more than loss. Because the more they hear the Quran, the more they want to refute it. The more they hear about it, the more they wish to ridicule it. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so it is a rahmah for the believers, those who believe in it, it is a shifa for them, but as far as the wrongdoers are concerned, those who reject the Quran, those who speak ill about the Quran, all it does to them, it is increases them in their loss and in their misfortune because of their rejection of the Quran. May Allah grant us the understanding.